Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. My name is Rodney, and joined by me is Will.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Today, we're going to talk about how shitty 2019 has been for games and what to look for in the future of 2019. We're also going to talk about Greedfall. They dropped a new gameplay trailer, and it looks awesome. Will?
Breathtaking.
That's the best you could do, breathtaking?
There's so many words coming in my head, but it's just like all coming out at once.
All right. Well, let's look at how shitty 2019 is right now. Right now. All right, everybody. So welcome to episode, 77 of the Video Games Now podcast. All right, so when we started this year, Will and I did a podcast called Q1, Q2, and we had our predictions on what games were coming out this year and how great of a year it was going to be, and we've been quite disappointed with what we've been given this year so far. Would you agree, Will?
There's been a few hits here and there, but other than that, I haven't really seen anything I'm too excited for. I enjoyed playing.
Yeah, it's been mainly re-releases or remasters or games that nobody knew existed because no one did any marketing for them.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, to start the year off in January, the biggest game... Actually, there wasn't really one. There was a couple releases for the Nintendo Switch, Mario Bros. Deluxe, U, and that's really it. It's not really until... February until Anthem came out when everyone was freaking stoked.
And we all saw how that turned out.
Yeah, so I think they expected Anthem to tie us over until like September.
Yeah, they even had just released the Cataclysm event and it did not go so well.
Ooh, that's too bad. Good idea, poorly executed. But in February, we have Apex Legends, which has been storming through like crazy. I just listened to
it. I'm out of it.
Yeah, I'm out of it as well. Bradley, our lovely VGN team member, is very in, and he's streaming. He's got quite a few followers now, actually. I was saying in the last podcast, Will. He's doing really good. So congrats, Bradley.
Nice. I've kind of just lost my love for the Battle Royale franchise. I enjoy watching it. Like, I'm still watching all, like, the Fortnite competitions. I just watched Friday Night Fortnite this week at...
Right.
And I watched the world championship that a 16-year-old won.
Yep.
Booga.
Nice. Yeah, the guy that won $3 million.
Yep.
Yeah, bastard. All right, anyways. So, a few other notable games. I was just saying to Will before we started, like, there really hasn't been too many notable games from when Apex and Anthem came out in February to, like, now. There's been basically nothing. In February, there was also... I just had it here. Jump Force, which we played at PAX last year, which I actually kind of enjoyed, but I don't know if I'd actually buy. I don't know.
Yeah, I was kind of mixed on that myself, so I never bought it.
Yeah, and then Metro Exodus came out. I did not play that, or I did play that at PAX, but again.
I am going to buy it. I'm just going to wait till it's either on a really good sale or free.
Yeah, totally. That's about it for February. Nothing else. And then March had nothing.
Well, March still had Devil May Cry 5.
Yes, it did. That's fair.
And for me, it had One Piece World Seeker, which I really liked.
What was that on again?
What do you mean? March.
What? No, I know. What system was that on?
PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. It's its own adventure in the One Piece world, taking place on Prison Island. And it's like its own story. So good.
I might check that out. That, you've intrigued me, Will. Alright, so that was Q1, so not... Yoshi's Crafted World also came out at the tail end of that, but... Is Yoshi games ever good? Like, they're an enjoyable time passer, but are they good?
I don't know. I haven't played too many of them.
Brittany played the demo. I gave her the demo because she played the last few, and I have not. And she played through the demo, and she's like, meh, it's not that fun. I was like, okay, that's all I need to know.
Yeah.
So, all right, and then now we're in Q2, April to June, and there really is nothing.
I don't see anything in April.
Nothing in April, nothing in May.
May had Rage 2.
I keep skipping over the good ones. Rage 2. Yeah. So Rage 2, did you end up playing that? Because you were all over the VGN chat. Like, nobody's touching Rage 2. That one's mine.
I did play... I do own it. I just haven't had a chance to play it.
Okay. Of course. All right, now we're at the end. I'm at the end of May, and I haven't seen anything. Resident Evil released a bunch of stuff, but it's all just porting over to the Switch by the looks of it.
Yeah, I don't really see too much.
Dauntless was released in May for the consoles.
So, yes.
Yes, which we all still haven't played yet.
I played a little bit.
But
and then I switched over to Monster Hunter World.
Yeah, I on my Xbox, it's ready to go. Have not opened it yet. But no one wants to play with me because I'm just starting out.
Well, I've been playing on PlayStation, so if I have to play again and do it, I'd have to start over on Xbox anyways.
That's true. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. At the end of Q2, we got Super Mario Maker 2. And I don't know whether that's noteworthy or not.
Yeah.
I'm not paying... like I said to you before we started recording, I'm not paying $80 for Super Mario Maker 2. It's just not happening.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. I didn't even play the first one.
I enjoyed the first one, but it did not scream AAA price tag to me. Because the first one... I wanted the first one actually quite bad, but I wasn't willing to pay the AAA price tag for it.
I getcha.
All right, so now we're in Q3, which is what we're currently in as well.
Yeah.
I'm in July, which just passed here, and Tiny Metal released something that I didn't... I'm going to click on that because I like Tiny Metal. It's Tiny Metal Full Metal Rumble. I don't know if that's...
I think that was the multiplayer they finally added.
Oh, okay. Okay, so yeah, it doesn't have any information on it, so that's exciting. all right, anyways, in this next month, because there's... Oh, Youngblood came out at the end of July. I forgot to mention, which I did a review on YouTube. You guys should check that out. It is very well done. I couldn't... Cole's doing a bunch of our YouTube videos now. And the one thing I hate about this Super Mario Bros. Underground Party song is it has about like 40 seconds of silence. Fantastic world. Alright, so, yeah, Cole's doing a lot of our videos now on YouTube, but I could not possibly give him, because you know how shitty his internet is, and his computer in general.
Yes.
So, I had about 12 and a half hours of footage from me playing Wolfenstein Youngblood, and I'm like, there's no way he would be able to even fit this on his computer, let alone edit it without his computer blowing up, so I just did it. I just stayed up until like 3 in the morning and finished editing it. So yeah, check it out. Hard work, Rodney.
Nice.
But yeah, so now we're at the end of July, and again, there's not a whole lot to make note of. There's Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Is that notable?
I guess sort of. I haven't picked it up. It's probably one I will buy and play with if it's on sale.
Yeah, for sure.
I enjoyed that one too.
Alright. So next month...
August, there's the first thing that caught my eye, and I'm already looking at it, but it's not giving me any details, is Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist, Link Evolution.
Yeah. I mean, I've played a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh games, but they're all generally the same. It's like some dark thing comes along and you got to duel them in a submission.
Well, this one says something about following the stories from the show.
Oh, really? Like from season one?
I guess. It says... where is it here?
Well, if they're following it from season one, I'm somewhat interested now.
Yeah, apparently Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist was released on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and Steam, but it's now making its way to Switch as Yu-Gi-Oh! Legacy of the Duelist Link Evolution. This new version of the game is coming with a handful of new features, 20 new characters, and extended story mode. It'll also have original versions of DLC. Build and customize a deck with more than 9,000 cards to choose from. Challenge other players with local player and Nintendo Switch Online. The addition of Link monsters. Take on roles of the animated series villains with reverse duels. Compete with battle packs for sealed play and draft play. Includes all previously released Legacy of the Duelist content. So yeah, it plays through the story.
Oh, I just had an awful thought in my head. Like, what if you could play for cards like you did in elementary school when Yu-Gi-Oh first came out? You went online and you're like, I bet this card that I can beat you. And then be like, I bet this card. Oh, man. That'd be so fucking rough. Because everyone online is tragically brutal.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, I have the best strategy. And then someone just completely destroys you.
Yep.
Which brings me to my next thing. So oh no, we're not in September yet. We're almost there.
August.
Yeah. Pokemon Masters is coming out on the 29th of August. And I'm excited to play that. That's on phones.
Yeah.
So, iOS and Android, they should just say phones. Just phones. We all know what iOS and Android is.
So, do we?
Maybe. All right, anyways, so I'm now moving away from August because I still cannot see anything worth our time. Are they re-releasing World of Warcraft? I just saw World of Warcraft Classic.
It is a re-release, basically, yeah. Just updated graphics and stuff like that.
So they don't look like that cheetah dude from Spyro in, like, 1998?
Yeah, pretty much.
That was some rough poly graphics. Rough.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so now we're into... This is where it starts to pick up, everybody. Okay, so we've been screaming our heads off in 2019 for this moment. NHL 20. September.
Yes.
13.
Monster Hunter World, Iceborne. Yes. September 16th.
Yes, I was making a joke. I will talk about NHL 20 in a moment, but yes, Monster Hunter World, Iceborne is coming out.
You know, you can make a joke all you want for NHL or NHL 20, but between like those sports franchises, NBA, 2K20, NHL 20, they've pretty much got some of the biggest fan bases ever.
No, I know. And NBA 2K20 is being released on the Stadia, I see.
Yes, it is.
So that's cool. Stadia is finally gaining some ground. Oh, whoa, hang on, back up to August 27th. The Bard's Tale 4 Director's Cut is being released on Linux. So if there's any Linux... Actually, who owns a Linux? Does anyone own a fucking Linux? I see this all the time. Windows, Mac, and Linux. Who the fuck actually has a Linux, and what is it?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure anybody who has a Linux just gets frustrated because there's no support for it or nothing. No third party anything for it, and then they just freak out and lose their shit and get a Windows.
Yeah. I don't know. I know Linux used to exist in the time when Microsoft was around.
Yeah.
But I thought it disappeared.
Yeah. There's literally nothing else on this entire list except Oxygen Not Included, which released July 30th, which I don't even know what it fucking is, also on Linux. But
don't know.
So other than that, there's nothing else on Linux. Okay, also, we'll get into this later in the podcast, but Greedfall is coming out September 10th, and they released a gameplay trailer. On the game, and it looks amazing. So we'll get into that after our little blurb about the rest of the year.
Yeah.
All right.
We also have Borderlands 3 September 13th.
And I was just saying to you before we started recording also that Greedfall has intrigued me so much that I don't even give two shits about Borderlands 3 anymore. Like, it can just go over there and play itself.
I just hope Greedfall isn't one of those games that looks great, you know, and they're promising the world, and then it's just a complete and utter bust.
That would complete reveal my trap card, reversal, go buy Borderlands 3.
There's been so many games like that that I've been interested, like Greedfall, that have kind of like hid under, you know, like hid away. You so know, I basically call like a Greedfall like a gem. Like, sure, there's marketing for it, but there's not a lot.
Well, the Anthem was somewhat the same way too, you know. Like, I think the games are just getting too complex now that people are forgetting about the basic root of the genre.
Yeah.
You know, like Assassin's Creed took what made Assassin's Creed good and then evolved it into like a mega RPG genre. Like, that's
true.
But
like before Odyssey and even Origins, Assassin's Creed was definitely getting stale.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I mean. They took the good elements from the games that were stale and they made it really fucking awesome. And look at Zelda. Zelda is the exact same way. Breath of the Wild took what made Zelda like amazing and they evolved it into a freaking amazing game. But these new IPs that are coming out are just not really making the cut.
Some do, some don't. I think nowadays there's just too much politics in video games as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's not just the developers anymore that want to make the game. It's the publisher, and the publisher says, oh, I don't think this is going to work, or we don't have the money to support this.
Yeah. All right, so September 13th, along with Borderlands 3, NHL 20 is coming out. So I played the beta for NHL 20. I can't remember if I talked about this on the previous podcast or not. But I don't play online sports games, and I'll tell you why. Because as soon as somebody figures out how to cheese the game, it just fucking ruins it. And that's what the NHL 20 beta was all online stuff. And what they fixed was actually really good, because I just finished playing NHL 19, and there was a couple of physics things in there that really pissed me off. Like when you're skating across the ice and you get the puck and you need to do basically a 100-degree turn to the left to start going where you want to go, you lose all your momentum. Like, you basically just like stop. Even if you do a glide, like you do a sharp turn glide, it like you lose all your momentum and you're like, the fuck? Like, that's dumb. So they fix stuff like that in NHL 20. It's very, very smooth, very fluent for a hockey game. So I'm very, very impressed with that. But yeah, I played online and I was just utterly fucking disappointed and frustrated at the people that just cheese the game.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, so I will, if I do get NHL 20, which I potentially might, I'm not playing online. I'm only going to play against a computer that doesn't just fucking cheese everything.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Like, these guys I was playing against would take the puck and then get a 2-on-0 somehow. Like, they would just skate past my dude. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm not bad at the game. Like, I play on the second hardest difficulty on just regular playing mode. And, yeah, they, like, just do the little cheesy pass bullshit behind the back. I don't know. I can't even explain it. It's just some fucking straight cheese. It's fucking nacho cheese.
Sounds like you might just have to play more online to get better.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I'm sure Mark will agree that the guys online are just fucking cheese.
Oh, yeah, he will.
So, all right. Moving on from that, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening comes out September 20th, so they literally, within the first half of the month, have released, like, potentially three huge titles. Actually, more than that, there's, like, five here. There's Monster Hunter World Iceborne, there's Greedfall, Borderlands 3, Gears 5 comes out September 10th, and excluding the sports games, then you have The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. Within the first 20 days of September. Like, they should have spread this out way more instead of releasing everything in the last half of the year. I think, anyway. Because, like, I've just been playing old games.
Games always sell better at this point.
Yeah, I know. With Christmas and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I agree.
Yep. And Black Friday coming up in November.
Oh, yeah. That exists. I've been playing City Skylines. I think I told you about this before. It's like SimCity, yeah, but better. And I started a new city because I hit a rut in the old city where I just wasn't gaining or losing any population. I was just staying around 23,000 people. But I started this new game, and because now I know how to actually play the game, and I have 50,000 people in my city. And everyone's problems with, like, population problems are like shit I can't even control. Like, someone's like, I can't, no one's buying my products. I'm like, okay. I don't know what to fucking say. Like, advertise more. I don't know. So, and then I'm playing through Assassin's Creed Odyssey because I have not finished it yet and I want to. So, what about you? What have you been playing?
I started playing Skyrim again for a little bit, but I switched out of that and I picked up also Persona 5. Really enjoy it. I used to play all the other Persona games, so I'm playing on a harder difficulty, which is a really bad mistake because everything you do in one day, time frame, is like timed.
Right.
So I either like go to school or get in trouble for skipping school, and then after school it's either like go to the other world and complete the mission or like do my freaking night job.
Oh, I was gonna say that sounds like the like Bully 2.
Sort of. But Persona 5 is really good, and then I also picked up Judgment. And Judgment takes place in the Yakuza game world.
Right. Yep.
I don't know. Have you ever played any of the Yakuza?
I know what it is, but I have never played it.
Okay. Yeah. It's kind of like a mini GTA knockoff, like brawler. You don't really have guns or weapons. It's just you kick people's asses with like bare fists and your feet.
Yeah. Nice.
So in this one, you're taking place still in that Yakuza world, and you play as a disgraced lawyer who screwed up a case a couple years ago, and now he's a private detective.
Interesting. You find interesting games. Like, how do you come across these? You just see the title and you're like, sure.
Well, I've always liked, I played all the Yakuza games, so when the same developers announced this title, it was already on my list.
Okay.
It came out a couple months ago, and I just decided to buy it now because I found it at EB last weekend on sale for $45. So,
fuck yeah, EB winning.
Yeah, and then I went to EB yesterday, and it was $79. So, I think I made the right choice.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so don't think we're done with September yet. We have Baldur's Gate on the 24th. Which,
no, this isn't 3, though.
No, Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition, The Siege of Dragonspear, and Baldur's Gate 2, the Enhanced Edition. So yeah, they're getting everybody's just rock hard for Baldur's Gate 3 coming out.
Pretty much, but we don't know when Baldur's Gate 3 will actually fully release.
Yeah.
So
I just noticed Dragon Quest XI S. Is that, that's a new one, right?
Echoes of Exclusive Age. Yeah, that's the one that I played at PAX.
Okay.
It was PlayStation exclusive. Now it's moved away.
PlayStation. Speaking of PAX, we are not going this year. And it's all my fault. So, sorry about that. We're not going to go to PAX. But we will be staying on top of stuff that's released at PAX. We'll be talking to some people down there that we may know. And we'll be getting some information. And we'll be talking about all the stuff right here on the Video Games Now podcast.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so... they're still at it, them Destiny fuckers. Destiny 2 Shadowkeep, October 1st.
Apparently, my friends have told me Destiny 2 has gotten way better after, like, the second or third expansion, and this is, like, number 5. So, I know I pre-ordered the Stadia, and you said you were going to, so hopefully you do. You get the first game you get is Destiny 2 Definitive Edition.
That includes all the deals, all the expansions?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again.
So I wouldn't mind giving it another try, especially with... I feel the Stadia is going to be a bridge between consoles.
Right.
It's a lot cheaper, but it's also going to mean you're going to have way better internet.
Yeah, cool.
So I know if I'm getting it, Mark said he's going to get it. Jeremy's getting it. Thomas says he's probably going to pick it up.
Okay.
So it gives us a chance to play games together a lot more easy.
Yeah, 100%, yeah. 100% for sure. But with Destiny 2, again, like, it shouldn't take you 2 years to get your fucking shit together with a game.
You know? No, but Destiny 2 is such a huge looter shooter as well that it's the same thing with, like, where Borderlands is all story, Destiny has to keep adding a lot more content.
Right.
Or it gets stale. And, like, I did enjoy Destiny 2 when it first came out. I played it all the way through, but then when the first raid came out, I was already on to another game.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem I think the Destiny series has, is there's such a huge gap between content.
Yeah, if they... I think if people were a little bit more... Or not people, just generally the publishers were a bit more transparent on, you know, here's what we're going to do. Because, I mean, Sea of Thieves, when that came out, kind of did that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't very descriptive. It was like, yeah, there's, like, this cursed sales thing coming out. And we're like, okay, well, what is that? And they were kind of a little hush-hush about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So
the thing is, too, like, so many people are still playing Destiny 2. And they're all adding the cross-save thing.
Cross-save how?
Where you'll be able to, I think, here, I'm going to have to look this up so I don't...
So you don't, but, well, so what you're saying is, like, if I play on PlayStation and save my shit, then I can open it on Xbox and it picks up.
I think that's what cross-save would mean, because I know they don't want to do cross-play.
See, that's fucking cool, okay? That's fucking cool. If it won't let you play with other people, but you want to still play the game
on either console. You just have to own it on another console.
That's, there we go. Okay, that's a fucking game changer.
I'm getting the information here. Okay. Back in June, Bungie announced Destiny 2 is going free-to-play, getting cross-save and maybe biggest all, moving from Battle.net.com to Steam. Destiny 2 will arrive on Steam on October 1st, which is the same day that the new Shadowkeep and New Light free-to-play expansion will launch. Existing players can sign up to transfer their accounts, which include all owned content, expansions, passes, silver, the works, beginning on August 20th. This might... Hold on, I need to see. Cross-save.
Cross-save. Will... in the meantime, while Will's looking for that, the next interesting game that's going to come out in October is actually Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So I'm actually somewhat interested in picking this up because it's going back to the roots of Call of Duty. Did you find it yet?
Yeah, but the information is kind of jibbled. I have to find out more about it. Maybe we'll discuss that if we get back into Destiny 2. It sounds like, yeah, you can do cross-save, so play on PlayStation and then transfer your character's information over to the Xbox. But it says if you do it too many times, there could be a 90-day penalty between it.
Oh, that's... Okay,
just,
never mind.
Just to stop people from like picking up your game ID.
Oh, okay. That's fair. I mean, they could add some sort of like validation that it's you. Like, oh, we texted you a number, input the number, or some bullshit.
I think it would be fine, though, like, as long as, like, say I played Destiny 2 on Xbox. So if I can transfer all my account information straight to the Stadia.
Yeah.
Without having to start over again, I'd be happy. But I think if I was going to play with you guys anyways, I'd rather just start from fresh.
Yeah, totally. Okay. So back to Call of Duty Modern Warfare. I'm actually very excited. It's being developed by Infinity Ward and published by Activision, like most Call of Duty games have been. It'll serve as the 16th overall installment in the Call of Duty series, as well as a soft reboot of the Modern Warfare subseries. So Modern Warfare... was actually really good. The original was actually really
good. That's still one of my favorite Call of Duties.
Yeah. So the story was good. What else was good about it? The online was good as well. And same with World at War, which was the next one that came out. So yeah. I'm
Lieutenant
very excited.
Soap McTavish.
Soap McTavish. Clean up this mess, Soap. All right. Okay, so now we're on October 29th. Resident Evil 5 and 6 are coming out on the Switch. And, well, look at how fucking fitting this is. Luigi's Mansion 3 comes out October 31st.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. So, you basically have 16 days to play Luigi's Mansion 3 before the Pokemon Sword and Shield games come out on November 15th. Man,
Pretty much. I
feel fucking sorry for Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Because no one's going to be playing that. They're all going to be playing Pokemon Sword and Shield.
They can still go out and watch a movie.
This is the game. The Jedi Fallen Order. Cinematic?
Yeah. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, that comes out on the 15th.
I don't know.
So
I'm still
going to
be playing it.
Yeah. And then Doom... Oh, fuck you, video game industry. Why would you... if they saved everything for the end of the year, you're not going to have any time to play fucking anything. So
yeah, in November we have Death Stranding, Pokemon Sword and Shield. We also have Shenmue 3. Then 22nd, you have Doom Eternal.
Oh, yeah. I'm super stoked for that one.
No, you're more stoked for the game that comes out on the 29th.
What's that? Oh, yeah. The Mario and Sonic the Olympic Games Tokyo? Fuck yeah. The second game I ever owned for my 3DS was Mario and Sonic the Olympic, the Rio Games.
Oh, see? I knew you wouldn't skip this one.
Oh, no. This is top of my list. I'm gonna trade in Pokemon Sword and Shield for it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So
December seems very dry, though. I think they blew their load.
Oh, yeah.
Ending up in November.
Oh, yeah. Totally. But at the same time, I'm going to be so backlogged with games in December that I'm just going to say, fucking don't release anything else.
Yeah, plus you have Boxing Day and whatnot, yeah. So you'll be picking up a lot of other games that you've missed or just didn't have the time to...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So with this list in front of you, what would you think Game of the Year is going to be? Let's predict this right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a tough one for sure. I'm gonna take a limb and say Greedfall. I think Greedfall is gonna get it.
I'm gonna go for it mainly because of who's behind the game, even though I don't understand what it's about, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be Death Stranding.
Yeah, it's a good call too.
Hideo Kojima, he hasn't let us down with a single game yet. This game confuses the fuck out of me in more ways than one. Every trailer I'm like, oh, I'm gonna understand what's going on more. No, he's fucking just making me more confused than ever.
Yep.
Baby in a little bubble.
Baby in a bubble. All right, so with my choice, Greedfall being Game of the Year, why don't we talk about that and what it has in store for all of us? So this gameplay trailer was released a few days ago, 3 days ago. What's today? The 11th, August 11th. So the 8th of August was released. And it showcased some of the key components and mechanics in the game that you're going to be focusing on. So we're just going to, I'm going to play the video silently and just kind of look at it, and then we'll talk about some stuff that's coming in. So it's a role-playing experience by Spider Studio, and you're exploring an uncharted island of whatever the fuck it's called. It starts with a T, sounds like Terrafair or some bullshit. But, yeah, I can't find it in the notes here. Anyways, it's a land that holds promise of secrets, treasure, and adventure. And there's this ginormous, like, it looks like I Am Groot's, like, older brother. It's just this, like, monster thing. This, like, tree thing that's, like, attacking your ship. So, first of all, I'm freaking stoked that you're, like, it looks like you can be a pirate, but you could also be, like, just a mercenary or something. But so you can decide what you want to do. So it looks like it's based in like 18th century kind of an alternative 18th century timeline, we'll call it, because there's magic in the game.
Works for me.
Yeah. So far, you're given the freedom to make your character unique. So at the beginning of the game, you can choose how your character looks. Everyone has a stupid little scar thing on their left cheek, jawline thing.
I think that might be that scar is going to happen during the opening cinematic, which I think is where you land on the island and you that monster destroys your ship.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then
because the first trailer they released shows you fighting that monster, but you don't see your character. It shows it in first person at that point.
Right. And then isn't there some sort of curse?
You that's when you're going to not curse. There's a plague on the world and you're hoping this island holds the cure.
Okay, gotcha. So, like I said before, there's a range of options to choose from in terms of your overall look when you're designing your character in the beginning. And then you'll be diving into your starting skills, attributes, and talents. So, looks like there's a warrior, a technician, and a magic class. So, obviously, depending on what one you choose, you'll get a boost in whatever attributes, like starting skills, are with that class, which makes sense. But you, as the game progresses, you can build on
everything
to any of the classes. So if you start off as a warrior, you can build your magic, or you can build your technician skills, and you can really customize how your character plays. Yeah. So that's really cool.
I think the technician is probably going to be the traps and the bombs your guys will use.
Yeah, that's going to be fucking dirty. Anyone you actually fight in, like, online is just going to be a technician and just a fucking cheese ball.
I don't know if there's going to be any online in this game. It looks like it's going to keep the full just single player story.
Well, later in the gameplay trailer, they were talking about how you could have three people in an alliance, and it was talking about people that you've befriended, but I'm wondering if they've added some sort of co-op thing so you can play with friends that way.
It'd be interesting to see, like, if you could do that, but I bet you the alliance is for people you've befriended in the world.
Yeah, and you want to hold on to these people, too. If you, you know, if you befriend a guy and his motivation is to, like, kill this one king dude,
you should probably do it.
You should probably help him out at some point, because if you wait too long, he'll turn on you. I don't know if you kill the king dude or whatever. That was just an example. But yeah, they turn on you if their needs aren't met. So.
I like that.
Yeah.
It makes you not just skip past your companion's side quest.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you can't just wander off and find all, like, 64 heart pieces before you co-save Zelda kind of shit.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I'm watching the combat. Now, the combat has a nice mix of, like, Fable and
Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, it's got a very nice blend of RPG combat elements here. So what one stuck out to you, Will, in terms of the combat gameplay?
I thought the traps and the magic were the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, the dodging is actually super cool. Yeah. It reminds me of how you dodge in Anthem, because that was actually super useful and
like to the side, really nice and quick, very fluid. Yeah,
it's really cool. The magic looks awesome. I usually do choose the magician type class when I play these kind of games, but I don't know. I might lean a little bit more towards warrior and then just build onto my magic. Because
But like it said, you can play the game the way you want to.
Yeah. Yeah, because I found if I was just solely relying on magic like I do in most MMO games, I get fucking destroyed when it comes to PvP.
Yeah, you lose out on mana.
Yeah. Yeah, my mana disappears, and if they get like one hit on me, I'm like dead because you have no defense. So.
Yep.
But, so I might just do warrior and build onto my magic, because you can always do hand-to-hand combat, and then no one really expects you to, like, blow them backwards. So there's a big variety of weapons here in this game, which looks, they look so good. Like, the rapier looks awesome, the two-handed axe looks sick, and, it looks so good. And the really cool thing is you can actually customize all of your weapons, too. Which I think last time we talked about Greedfall, we were actually kind of hypothesizing on that.
That you would be able to change the hilt and pommel and stuff like that. Yeah. And this trailer confirmed it.
Yeah. It looks super cool. And then you can also customize your armor fully. like
color wise, adding new shoulder pads, new chest piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's one thing in the gameplay that was really cool is if you're in a horde and you need to do a specific action or you're not sure how to handle this situation, you can like pause the game and go to the tactical menu and you can figure out what your next attack is, which is fucking awesome, okay? Like, I hate in RPG, fast-paced RPG games where it's like, I need to do this one specific spell and I have to do like so many different button pushes to fucking do it. And then by the time you've done that, you've been attacked. So yeah. this gives you the opportunity to utilize any spell or attack or anything in your arsenal with no consequence to the fucking button bullshit.
Yeah, I'm super impressed with it.
Yeah. Oh, this game is exciting.
I want to see now when you enter that tactical menu, does it allow you just to slow down the combat to figure out what you want to do next, or does it allow you to do multiple moves that you can plan ahead?
Ooh. Well, I'm sure that this is something that might get abused, right? Like,
it's hard to say. There might be certain requirements for you to, because it said it when you're surrounded by hordes.
Right. So
maybe it won't allow you to do it if you don't have enough enemies.
Yeah, that's
possible.
Say
all of a sudden you're surrounded and you have six enemies and they're going to come at you no matter what. You can't block everything.
Yeah, and you can gather.
Then you get the option.
It looks like you can gather information on all the enemies around you because he's got a little UI screen up and it's telling you what it is and
weakness.
And its weaknesses. That's fucking cool.
I think it also showed because if you see it goes like not like a black and white but like a tactical type thing where it shows you, I think, their critical hit points.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's really cool. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how this plays out because, like I said, I feel like it would get abused. So I'm wondering how they're going to balance that out.
It's hard to say.
Is there a beta available for this game? Because I want to fucking play it right now.
No, we just got to wait just under a month.
Greedfall beta. I'm typing it in right now. And pre-purchased, feck, never mind. It's just saying launches September 10th. Like, I gotta wait. Bullshit. All right. Anyways, so
the only thing, it wouldn't have been a beta, it would have been a demo because it's a single player game,
right? Yeah, fair enough. All right, so I'm just watching some more of the combat here. It's actually really cool. I really recommend anyone listening, you should check out the gameplay for Greedfall because it looks amazing. So it looks like you'll be finding armor similar to Assassin's Creed with a good rare legendary whatever colors, the green, blue, purple, and gold.
Yeah, there's also going to be armor for the factions on the island.
Yeah, so when you buy, I guess when you buy from the market, it'll be fitting for that specific faction.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think it said you can unlock like newer armor or like different armors as well by befriending a different faction.
Yeah, that's cool. And I hope they have markets and stuff that are like kind of tucked away. So it's like if you go exploring and you find like the hidden market, it's like you can get some badass fucking clothing. And then when you encounter... See, I keep thinking there's going to be some sort of online aspect. Like, maybe there will be... Like, maybe you join us... You can play completely offline. But if you are online, maybe there's, like, 12 slots on the server that, like, some other people join in.
Yeah, but so far they haven't announced any online stuff. And it's too close to the release now where I highly doubt they're going to add anything to the game.
Yeah. This is going to have an MMO feel, but a single-player experience.
Yeah.
Is what I'm kind of gathering. So I hope they do add a little bit of online. Not too many, though. They're not too much. Like, I don't want, like, an MMO experience because I liked... what game did we play? The Blessed Unleashed. I did like it, but I got kind of bored, to be honest, which I normally
do. Yeah, it was just a beta, right? They didn't really allow us to do much.
Yeah, that's fair. But yeah, that's with most MMOs. I just get kind of bored just doing the whole back and forth. Go talk to this person, go pull some fucking gnomes out of a garden and go talk to this person. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So. All right, so the boss battles in this game look fucking epic, too.
Yeah, they look kind of tough, though.
Yeah. And it's solo, so you can't rely on your AI buddies to be OP tanks. Okay, so now they're talking about how you can tackle particular opportunities. So they say, of course, that brute force isn't always the right way. You might have to go around and pick locks or...
Do subterfuge.
Yeah, so blow a fucking wall up with some dynamite or some bullshit like that. So there's multiple ways you can tackle it, which... makes me think of Assassin's Creed Odyssey. You can either go in there and stealthily kill everybody or just take them all on head on, which is always super freaking hard.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I really can't stand about Odyssey is the fact that, like, one, like, accident leads to you fighting three bounty hunters. And it's like, can you fuck right off?
Pretty much.
Oh, it's so annoying. And then you'll be in a fort and you'll kill two bounty hunters. And then it's like another bounty hunter is tracking you. It's like, can you... I just want to take this dude to this place. Just go away. So yeah, I hope this game is... this game obviously looks like it gives you a lot more options than just sneaking around and brute force.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So that's exciting. So,
I think there's lockpicking and a whole bunch of stealth elements to this game as well.
What if you could befriend animals and just send your wolf in there to just, like, distract everybody?
Now it sounds like we're going on Far Cry Primal.
Yeah, shit. I gotta play Far Cry New Dawn still. I saw it on sale for, like, $30.
Yeah, I haven't picked that one up yet. I haven't even played 5 yet since you've given it to me. It'll probably be on my list to play once I finish this year work year.
Oh, I forgot I gave that to you. Yes, yes, you should play that. Oh, yeah, and you can romance your mans in this game. Good friendships.
Probably gonna have some sex scenes as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely an adult game. I think it's rated 18 up or something.
Yeah, and in the trailer, some of these dudes I would not touch with a 10-foot pole, so the fact that they're getting some romance is interesting. So, yeah, that's, okay, that was fucked up. I just saw something that kind of confused me. So there's this shot in the trailer where some person's kissing a dude. I can't tell if it's a dude or a guy. Or a girl.
I think it's two dudes.
I think it's two dudes, too. And then they do a wipe of the bedpost and the dude turns into a lady.
I think it was showing... that you could romance both people, like both genders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. All right, anyways, so yeah, this game looks amazeballs, and I'm definitely picking it up. I'm going to be playing this. Well, we said this about Anthem, so let's not get our hopes up too high.
That's what I mean.
You know, because everyone's like, I'm going to be playing Anthem for like the next year, and then they played it for about a day, and then they're like, fuck that.
Same yeah, with- there's still quite a few diehards, though.
Is there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eric said it was okay now, so I might check it out.
I guess we could play it.
Well, you haven't even started yet, right?
No.
Yeah, so I'm like level 10 or 11 or something, so.
I'm pretty sure I can catch up to that pretty fast.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so that's about it for Breedfall. I just, again, hope it's not as shitty as previous games this year. Huge letdown this year's been, so I'm hoping that the last 4 months are just gonna slap me around. speaking of which, have you played Youngblood?
I have not.
No, we should play that too. There's too many games to play. We need to quit work. We need to win the lottery, Will. And then we can just... have a live 24-hour podcast and play video games all day.
Well, I'm hoping to win something this year. I've had bad luck for like the last decade. It can only, you know...
only place to go is up.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. So, got the P&E prize home lottery, all the cars.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm... what about... I was just thinking about this the other day. We should do the... charity event or the charity stream again this year.
Definitely. Most likely by that point, I'll have my whole stream setup done. So
nice. What do you think we should stream this year?
Let's see what comes out. If there's anything good or whatnot, I don't really want to do the Halo again.
Yeah, I second that. We haven't played Halo since that night.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind maybe both you and I playing like Zelda or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I definitely want to do the Zelda timeline thing that I was telling you about. But
definitely have to have no time, like out of work.
Yeah. All right. Anybody listening, if you guys have any suggestions for Will and I to do our charity speedrun, it's in November. Last year we did it on November 3rd. I am not sure if that'll be the same time, because I think they had some sort of event or something, didn't they?
It's always usually that time. It's the Extra Life.
Yeah, Extra Life. So, yeah, if you guys want to see us play something for 24 hours straight, please be nice. Then let us know on our Facebook page and or Twitter. I've been going on to Twitter, and people keep leaving us random bombs. So, good bombs.
Nice.
Yeah, so. All right, well, that should wrap up the podcast for today. And thanks for joining us, Will. Hope to see you next week.
I will. Probably won't be next weekend. Well, I will be back, but the following week we're going to have a lot of information coming straight out of GamesCon Germany.
Yes. Maybe we'll bring Hannah on so she can interpret it in German.
Well, it is mostly all in English, so we should be okay.
All right. Well, maybe Cole will be fine then.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Anyways, thanks a lot, guys. Our website is still down. I know.
Working on it.
I know. I'm going to slap some people. It's the most frustrating experience ever. So hopefully the website will be back up very shortly, and we'll be back to our old selves posting a bunch of articles. Eric is literally like, when am I going to get my site back? Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Eric's getting a little uppity, so we better get on that. All right. Thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
Later, guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.